The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
In a free world because Donald Trump won. That's the only reason, in my opinion. And I'll tell you what to watch out for. You're getting a premonition of what's going on in 2008. Watch Gavin Newsom position himself to run against J.D. Vance. This is going to be interesting to watch for 4 years.
Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Nick. Now, that is quite an intro. How are you doing, sir?
I've got enough enthusiasm for both of us.
You're bouncing off the walls like a fly right now.
What's funny about that?
Hey, Nick, before we get going, I want to put out, we have no sponsors except for you and I. Thank you, Nick, for sponsoring.
Thank you, Doug.
But I went to two local establishments, so I just wanted to get a little shout-out. Roadrunner Grill, you told me about it. I got to tell you, those guys just north of the Oasis Fun Center, best tacos in town, like $5 or $6 each, just phenomenal. And then in Manton, of all places, we just had a place open up after 2 years of remodeling at – it's called Sweet Shoots, and great coffees. They're open from like 7 to 7 during the week and 7 to 10 on Friday, Saturday. And we had a burger and some fries last night, and excellent stuff. So if you're out and about on a road trip, stop by, meet Gerard and Marcus. Really good place, and they did an amazing job on that building. So there you go. Let's get back to our regularly scheduled program.
We're getting some outstanding restaurants around here anymore. You know, the guys next door. What's the name of this barbecue place next door?
Odell's.
They've signed a deal with K2 or K4. What is it?
K2.
They're going to remodel and build a facility down here next to where the Enjoy store was.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be a barbecue place on the bottom with a three-story affordable income on top. So you know what that means? The taxpayers are paying for a big chunk of it through grants, and they're going to own it.
And
they're partnering with the city of Reading. And guess what the city of Reading's throwing in?
Well, I'm just going to say, K2's going to get richer and richer and richer on the government back, but that's okay.
Yeah, and their partner, Reading, they won't have any interest in it, and they're probably selling the property at about a tenth of what its value is.
Well, I was up in Shasta Lake City last week for the building department, and there's four massive buildings going up there. All K2 projects, all government funded, going to be privately owned. I wish I had that gig, crying out loud. You know, take taxpayers' money and then I get to own it. That's a great gig.
Hey, you know what? I've got nothing bad to say about K2 and this Odell guy. If I had enough smarts to do that, I'd take advantage of it too. The problem is our government shouldn't be handing it out. Yeah, that's it.
Period. I mean, that's story. Good morning, Don.
Supply and demand.
Yes, supply. Well, no. The problem is the government has gotten into a field that they're not supposed to be in. They're picking winners and losers, and it's like the green scam. It's 100% a scam. There's nothing valuable about the green scam, because if it could stand on its own, it would not need all the government grants and subsidies. It would stand on its own. When you go to Ford and you buy a car, you don't get a tax rebate. When you go to Chevy, you don't get a when you go to Toyota, but you go to Tesla, you go to Rivian, you go get solar. You get all these rebates. If it was a genuinely valid, valuable benefit to our society, you would not need to support it with government money. And that means you and I, who don't have electric vehicles, electric scooters, or solar, we're paying for it, Nick. So there you go. We're off to a start today, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, the city of Reading, Reading Electric Utility, they claim that's a different entity from the city of Reading. They're giving out rebates, too, and that's just ridiculous.
Well,
the people
I mean,
that don't have a...
They don't need it. Well, the thing is you don't need to give those people the things that they're giving these rebates for. They're more expensive, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 solar systems. You're talking $50,000, $60,000 Teslas. These electric bikes are a couple grand. People who can afford that don't necessarily need the rebate. What I think REU should do is take that money that's a rebate, because apparently they've got it flowing out of bolt holes, is go subsidize the sports parks so we can have our kids play on fields.
You know, I went to the meeting when they had shut down the sports park and they wanted people's input on what they should do with it now, and everybody was there asking them to please open up our sports park, and there was different ideas, and I had a good idea too. But you know what? We should have been there saying, this is our sports park. Open it up. Don't charge electricity. We own the electricity. Open our sports park. Whoa. Instead of begging them, oh, we're going to try and get it open in a couple months, and then act like heroes when they did.
Well, and the thing is that's just a perfect example of a government-private partnership where the private company got, you know, the benefits, and then when it wasn't any more valuable to them, they left us hanging with the bag. That's just another example of when the government should not be messing with that stuff.
And they even let them switch whoever owned the lease so Big League Drains could get out of liability.
Yeah. Well, you got to love government. They make such good decisions all the time, all the time. So, sir, you know, this last week I heard there was some news in the area. I wasn't missing it all. So what's the latest?
Oh, boy. You know.
I heard something about some guy named Trump. It might have gotten through, and I think he took 53 at last count on the Senate. I've seen different counts where he was already at 218 in the House, and I've seen it's 213, so I'm not sure if we've got the House yet. But California, I got to say, California, you morons, go pay attention to what Florida does. Florida voted, counted, and announced results in one night. They're going to take weeks here.
You know, I read a headline that Kamala Harris is going to run for governor of California now.
Oh, that's great. She can do it. Well, I mean, my mic went out. Uh-oh. There we are back. But, you know, that'd be great. I mean, you know, it's not like we can get it destroyed a whole lot more, so the bottom is getting close. So why not just race it to the bottom?
Well, it's a perfect example why the Electoral College needs to stay in there.
Absolutely.
We are not represented. 50 out of 58 counties are not represented.
Well, when you look at the map of the election, it's blood red except for the West Coast, Colorado, New Mexico, and the Northeast. All the rat-infested cities that are overrun with crime are liberal. The rest of the people who actually earn a living and grow the stuff, red. And so, I mean, the older I get, and I'm not as old as you, Moses, but...
Wise up, or you're not going to make it, buddy.
Well, I've had that threat more than once. but you just got to look back to those guys that were in their 20s and their early 30s, and they came up with the most amazing system of government 260 years ago. They came up with things. They knew what's going on today was going to happen.
Absolutely. And then here at a local level, we've got Mary saying, why do we want the eminent domain measure Q when it's never happened before? Because we don't want it to happen, Mary.
At all. I think that was measure P. And even that, when I talked about it on Carl's show, is it just kind of shows the Stockholm syndrome that we suffer in today's society.
Actually, I believe that one passed. I think
well, no, but hold on. I'm just saying, though, here's the thing, Nick. Is first off, I don't think the Board of Supervisors did a very good job on it. The Board of Supervisors threw it to the people to prohibit the government from taking private property to give it to another for-profit private person or entity. And that is a no-brainer. Eminent domain is by its design to be for like public works, freeways, easements for utilities. It's not meant for me to take your house and your neighbor's house and three other neighbors so they can put in a strip mall. And yet here it was, it barely passed in the low 50s. Which means that 40-something percent of the county was okay with the government having the authority to take private property and give it to other private people. I think it passed like 53, 47, something like that. And I would have thought it would have been like a 70, 30, because there's always 30% liberals that are going to vote for anything that gives government more power. But I was amazed it didn't pass bigger. Let me qualify it that way.
Personally, I wish it had been the opposite. I wish that would have failed and Measure Q would have passed.
Now, Q, I read it, but I'm not well versed on it. What was Q again?
Well, right now, if somebody resigns, say Stephanie Bridget resigns for health reasons.
Or gets recalled, right?
Or Mike Johnson. Not recalled.
No.
Okay.
So Stephanie Bridget.
No. Okay. So she doesn't have to run again till 2028.
Okay.
So if she had to resign right now, the board is obligated to pick a replacement to serve the rest of her term.
Okay.
The reason they put this in and it didn't pass is they could leave it vacant till the next election. Well, the next election's in 2 years, unless a special one comes up.
Yeah.
They could appoint somebody to be till the next election.
Yeah.
Or they could leave it vacant. And there's times where that would have been appropriate. And to me, that's a no-brainer. We're right back to the old deal that was going on, like when Bozinko said, oh, I'm going to finish my 4-year term, and retired 1 year into it, and they appointed Eric Magrini.
Yep.
You know, we're right back to that. And we had the chance to take that away and let the people decide who was going to be the replacement.
Well, you know, the thing about liberals is you can't underestimate their stupidity. This board, the one that they just continually beat, disrupt, call every name, use the F-bomb, blah, 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 blah. These guys keep trying to give power back to the people, the charter city, the eminent domain, a voice in getting appointments and or this, that, and the other. And yet our people, almost 50%, still vote to go with a bigger government and more government control, and it just drives me crazy.
Well, people have decided that they don't want to take responsibility. They want Big Daddy to tell us what we can do and what we can't do.
Well, that's a great recipe for tyranny. I mean, that's you know, the idea was to create so much chaos. And we'll talk about Trump, I think, in the second half. But when you create chaos and destruction and economic collapse, people look to the government to save them, when it, in fact, is the government who has caused the misery, the pain, and the suffering. And, you know, Shasta County is supposed to be a 2-to-1 conservative / liberal or Democrat, I guess we'll call it, setup. And yet we have almost half of our voting people. And maybe it's because the 2-to-1 people are voting, half of them aren't voting. So maybe that's the problem. But we're voting in, you know, Reznor got back in.
Not for sure. It's fairly close. And here's another thing. What do you mean we've got 67,000 ballots yet to count? And we might not get the election results, the true ones, until the week of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Nick.
That's not what you said.
I said
Florida. You said Aaron Reznor got in.
She had a decent lead, and so she was up a couple hundred votes. And in that small amount of thousands of votes, a couple hundred is a big gap.
Now you're talking about the Mesa pattern that they debunked, and they're predicting the outcomes of these elections on the Mesa pattern because she's up 200, and likely she won't get any more. But yet in 2020, old Biden zoomed to the top. And just the opposite of the Mesa pattern.
Well, no, I just can't believe again that, you know, Mr. Mizano has proven with, I think, very high quality moral ethics as a great city council person. He's done a good job. He's been active participant.
You know what he could have done to win that?
What that is?
Look a little bit more like a cheerleader. Maybe he could have gone.
Oh.
Some lipstick and some eyelashes on there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to disparage anybody for what they choose, but I think in Shasta County that may not have won them the vote.
Well, it won out there in Gateway. We've got a guy that thinks he's a girl.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. What the heck is her name? His name? I don't know what to call him anymore.
I don't care how they identify. People let them be people. I don't
care.
You
know,
don't force me to believe what you're believing.
Yeah, this gal, I've got her here someplace. Simpson? I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, there you go.
Person's like, I don't know, 35 or 40.
Oh.
Married to a woman.
Okay.
Claims he's a lesbian.
Okay.
And's got two kids, and he's running for the Gateway School Board, and he's winning.
Well, wait a minute, Nick.
She's winning.
You know, now, Nick, you're...
He/she.
You're making me question myself. I like women. Does it make me a lesbian? I just wanted to ask. I mean, you just said that, so, you know, I just thought I'd ask.
You know, I heard Sue Bird and Reagan. Mankin Raponi might be having
theory.
Problems.
Yeah, yeah, I just thought, you know.
Mazzano's probably not going to do lipstick, but.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think Marquise.
I was trying
too.
To make the point that she's a cheerleader. She didn't do anything while she was in public office.
No. Now you're lying through your teeth. She was able to try and do a backdoor slimy land sale to Sierra Pacific Industries. So she definitely did enough.
Well, yeah, but she's getting elected for it.
Well, there you go.
You know, the problem is most of these people that are voting for things that you and I stand against are retired government workers.
Yeah.
They've got a big pension, and they like things the way they are.
Well, I mean, you know, the status quo is hard to break, and that's why when Carl and I were having our discussion on the Trump victory and this and that, we had a caller named Robert called in, and he was saying that I sounded kind of positive. And I had to kind of rebut him and say, I'm not overall positive that Trump won. I mean, the libs have spent the last year with the idea that they might lose. And so they have put into place, bank failures that are coming our direction, the housing market bubble that is out there. They've got unemployment that they're not reporting. I mean, you know, up until I think it was October, they reported like 2.2 million jobs had been formed in the United States. And then silently on a Friday afternoon, they said, our bad. 818,000 of those jobs never existed.
And the ones we did create went to illegal aliens.
And,
because Americans won't do those jobs.
And nearly 2 million Americans have lost their job this year alone. And that's not being reported. So unemployment is really hovering about 13-14%. If they used real metrics of people who've stopped working or stopped looking, people who've got, you know, had a good job making 75 or 80 grand a year, got fired, now they've got two or three jobs making 30 grand a year or 40 grand a year. So, inflation. Now I gotta tell you, I think Trump's gonna be bad for inflation, to be honest with you. Some of his plans, I think, are going to backfire. So he might want to tread lightly, but we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second.
Well, you know what I remember about Reagan is we had a tough 2 or 3 years the first of his presidency, and he was cleaning up Jimmy Carter's mess.
Yep.
And then things took off, and I hope people will keep that in mind. But we've got a really interesting meeting coming up Tuesday, November 12th. It's a special meeting about how we're going to spend our opiate settlement money. And from what I understand, we've got about $10 million now, and over a period of, I think, 15 years, it might balloon up to about $40 million. And Mary had the bright idea, bringing in the experts, and we need to study this and really pay attention. And you know what? We've been paying attention to the experts for the last 20 years, and everything's gotten worse. So Kevin came up with the idea that we will have this special meeting. Anybody that's interested in putting together a program can have 6 minutes to explain their program and come up with how much money they want. So it's possible you could have 3 or 4 different programs. But my fear is it's going to be all the sharks in town, the Goodwill Rescue Mission, Children's Legacy Center, those kinds of places are going to come in and, I've got this rehab program and we're going to do this and I'm going to do this and it's all hunky-dory, but it never turns out hunky-dory.
Well, no, when you start handing out free money to people, now, you know, they're seeing that with, I think it's the Child Legacy Center's got itself with the crosshairs of the Reading Police Department, if I believe that's the right one. When you start giving out free money, the worst pop to the top, and it almost never ends well, ever. I mean, there should be – I would say in a common sense world, which we don't live in, is pay down the debt from the county so that we don't have this massive overhang. But that just means they'll spend it back next year.
There's limits on how this money can be spent.
I know.
But since you brought up the Children's Legacy Center, CEO Kimberly Johnson – her annual compensation went from 2018 when it was $19,200 to 2022, $191,000.
That's a 1,000% increase.
On top of that, she's drawn $51,000 a year from one safe place.
That's my example of what happens when you give free money to people. There's no
oversight. That's my example. You're trying to steal.
Well, because I want to take your credit on air.
That's okay. But, you know, their overhead is like 35%, when the average overhead of a nonprofit that really has everybody's best interest in heart goes from 5 to 12%.
Unless you're, the Salvation Army or Goodwill. Those things are running something like, 80% overhead, and very little actually goes back to help people. So I'd say there's some really good examples of bad waste out there on those companies.
You know, and now that you remind me, it's time for these places to start calling for donations for Thanksgiving baskets and Christmas presents. And this is for the Reading Police Department or Anderson Police Department or Red Bluff. And when they start pulling on your heartstrings, ask them how much of this money, what percentage, goes to the police department. And they say, well, you know, we've got to pay for our phone banks here and the people calling and stationery and postage. And it runs, 7 to 10%.
Well, I will give a shout out, a third one for the radio show today, of a 100% outgo to the people. Ted Blankenheim, a client of mine, great guy. He has been doing for many years a bike, collection, new bikes, this and that. And 100% of the bikes go to, kids, and he gives those away. So if you're out there and you got a chance, go buy a brand new bike and help Ted, because 100% of that, every bike goes to a kid. I can tell you that. There's no overhead there.
I believe Ducks Unlimited is in on 100% goes to them. I think the Safari Club, the Mule Deer Foundation. There's a few of those that it does. 100% goes back. It's volunteer time.
Well, I think I'm going to do a Doug Jenke Foundation because then I get 100%. You're speechless.
No, I'm not. Trying to figure out how to change the subject. So I was at the supervisors meeting Thursday night, and it got quite interesting.
Yes.
And there was some things back and forth, and Jenny didn't want to she was tired of the conversation, in my opinion, and she stood up. I thought she was that Carlos guy at the 68 Olympics, held her fist up high and stood up there, and then she had a sign that Patrick Jones needs to resign, and on and on and on. So the supervisors shut the meeting down.
Good
and
for him.
She wouldn't leave. We were shut down for about 45 minutes. So we're out in the hallway, and I'm sitting there and talking to somebody, and somebody else says, well, there's Nathan out there. And I look out there, and there's Nathan, and he's got a couple guys with him. And one guy, he's dressed up like the Grim Reaper.
Wow.
And he's got a scarf over his face. He's a tall, slim guy, and he's just standing there looking at us. And another guy next to him, he wasn't quite as intimidating. He's standing there looking at him. So I go out, and I'm friendly with Nathan. I says, what's going on, Nathan? He says, we were watching the meeting, and I just thought we'd come down and see what's going on.
Oh.
So here's how I've got it figured out. Because I could smell that they weren't no stranger to a cocktail that night.
Yeah.
And I think old Nathan and his buddies were sitting there, and says, let's go down there and pretend we're Antifa. I swear that's what happened.
It was almost Halloween, though, so maybe there was a little bit of that Halloween cheer kept for a couple days extra. How's that?
Well, I thought it was quite comical, but a little bit later, here comes the they're accused of being militia from Cottonwood. There was 9 of them come in and stood in the back.
Oh.
And I thank them for being willing to protect us.
Oddly enough, I am 1,000,000% more comfortable with militia carrying guns than I am with Black Lives Matters and Antifa masked up and armed with who knows what, bricks or whatever. So,
and
thank
some
you.
Of those liberal women in the meetings, I wouldn't want to be around when they start throwing lead.
No, I would either.
You get the old adrenaline pumping if something happens to your aim.
Well, see, there you go, Nick. You find a way to come up with this bright, sunny disposition on everything. I like
so,
that.
So Jenny got hauled off, and I understand that.
And hopefully charged. I hope she gets charged.
I understand she got out in the parking lot and says, okay, write me a citation. We're not writing you a citation. You're going to jail.
Yes.
They booked her.
Then they need to do that. I think the supervisors need to have a zero tolerance policy. They give 3 minutes to a public speaker who has signed up and done it. And if you speak out from the out, you're out. You're gone. And if you don't want to leave, it's charge him. I mean, this is getting crazy.
Well, her husband, Benjamin, he went up there and sat with her for a little while.
Arrest them both. Get
there. Well, I understand they did arrest him, too.
Well, I'm just saying. You know, they accuse us of being the disruptors and this and that. And yet every video I've seen of the Board of Supervisors, it has always been Nathan et al., Donnie Greenberg's group, who are disrupting, screaming, using F-bombs. I haven't yet seen a conservative get up there and scream and go crazy, or from the crowd.
We're going to go to a break pretty quick, but I want to get this in before we do. I believe they should write a citation to anybody that's disrupted it like that in the past. They've got evidence with their videos on past ones, and I would recommend Stephen King, Nathan Pinckney, and Christian. It's obvious that
they're there to agitate.
Well, when they displayed and disrupted the meeting and refused to leave, yes.
Yeah.
Give them a citation, and next time you're going to get booked.
Yep.
I think it was disturbing the peace or something like that. So we're going to a break right now, I think.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Reading Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
If you're 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday.
Play with your River Club card on any of our favorite slot machines and receive 5 times points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Don't forget to claim your bonus points at any of our promotional kiosks before you leave.
Why earn points?
You can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes at the River Club.
For more information, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to play this clip. This is President Trump telling us what he's going to accomplish in this next term. So listen to it. It's quite long, but it's worth listening to. Shoot. It's coming. It's coming. Anyway.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple, just like dominoes, one by one. They'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed. And it must happen immediately. And here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis- or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified. These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law, and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory, and constitutional offenses. To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president, I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business. From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230 if they meet high standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech. Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis- and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections, and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data. Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. By restoring free speech, we'll begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless.
So, there's our president. What else should he do within hours, Doug?
I personally think he should immediately, after he has signed that, hopefully, all-inclusive act, is release and pardon all J6 people, period. It is now beyond any shadow of doubt that the FBI had hundreds of infiltrators and instigators in the crowd. Not one of them ever got arrested, and yet other law-abiding citizens who went to show their support or whatever that day got arrested and have been rotting in jails. That's the one of the things I think I'd give them a massive amount of respect is get the people out of prison, pardon them, then go after all the people, including Liz Cheney, because if you read that book, Did You Let Me Borrow, Cash Patel, the one about the president, they knew from the get-go that the whole J6 thing, and they had all the evidence, they knew the FBI had infiltrated and sent out hundreds of people to totally instigate that thing that otherwise may not have happened. I mean, the instigation, if not provided by the FBI, that might have remained a very private peaceful presentation of
absolutely
the masses. And
absolutely.
And so that's something I think President Trump should do, is immediately release all of them and pardon them all, expunge their records, because that has been one of the biggest blood stains on our history, I think, in my opinion.
I think there's a lot of pardons and clemencies and expunging of records that should be done. Number one would be Dolores Lucero here in Shasta County. I think that would make her happy. And we could put her in charge of prosecuting Michael Byrd, the one that murdered Ashley Babbitt on January 6th.
Well,
she's a bulldog when she goes after somebody.
Well, that's quite a stretch, I got to say. It's funny, is Nick, we were talking about this stuff, and when I was on the show with Carl, the end of the show came, and I didn't get to finish my thought at that time. But I want blood. I want necks. I want the people who have made, I mean, the liberals have had 36 of the last 36 years of the last 24, because you got two Clinton, two Bush, so that's 8-8. Then they got 8 Obama, that's now 16-8. Then we got 4 Trump, and they got 4 this. They have destroyed our schools, our public institutions, our public employees. They have destroyed our universities. They've destroyed our family structure. I want to see heads roll, because if we don't heads roll, they're going to do it again, and they're not going to stop. They're of stage 4 cancer is what liberalism is.
Look what I started. I wound him up.
Oh, man, don't get me going.
How about Hillary Clinton and server?
She belongs in – well, Carla is very clear to me that we got to be careful what we say, because it comes back. She should be tried for treason, her and Bill. Bill, especially since he had, 27 trips on the Lolita Express with Epstein. But she should be tried with treason and whatever punishment the courts dole out. And all of their wealth. I want Fauci's wealth. I want Obama's wealth. I want Clinton's wealth. I want it wiped out. I want those people destroyed lives. And in the case of the Clintons, I mean, it's not a secret. You go on, there's 43 people at last count that were close associates to the Clintons that committed suicide, some of them twice. I mean, Nick, I'm 60 years old almost. I know one person in my 60 years that did that. They have over 40 people that were in their inner circle. Something's there. There's smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
I'm a little bit older than you, and I know a lot of people I wish would do that.
Well, I'm not saying I wish them to do it. I'm just saying that I want to see heads roll, because the problem is, God bless them, for as dumb and as stupid as they are, the liberals learn. And they learned how they got away with it before, and they're going to go deeper the next time.
How about James Clapper? Get up there and lie in front of Congress.
How about the 50 people that signed that thing about Hunter?
Take away their security clearance.
No,
that really hurts.
No, take away their pension.
Oh, absolutely.
Make it absolutely unbearable, painful, that this doesn't happen again. These folks had 36 years, 24 of which has been in their control, and they have destroyed our country. I don't want this to happen to our youth. I don't want our kids to face this 15 or 20 years down the road. Make it so painful.
This is what happens when you lie, you deceive, and you manipulate.
And you get caught doing it all.
We've got the same thing going on here in Shasta County. Patrick Henry brought up the fact that they were misinformed about how the Zuckerberg's money came in.
There's another guy that needs to be prosecuted to the end of the world. Lose his pension, lose his company. I mean, he not only did he wave his wand of money and influence the election, he did disinformation as well. And I mean, you talk about treason. Mark Zuckerberg should be a poster child for that.
I don't know. I was getting more to the fact of Kathy Darling Allen and our attorney Ross rewriting the stipulation on why we would accept a grant from them. The board said, we'll take that grant, but we want to use it for a building. They rewrote it, sent it in, received it, and then didn't tell the board for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Jones emailed them 3 times. So what's up with that money? Oh, we haven't heard. We haven't heard. And then when it came time to where they had to reveal it, oh, yeah, well, we got that money. And then Kathy Darling Allen, she misled the board on those heart machines. They wanted a machine that would service the disabled. They didn't want a machine that would tabulate all the votes. And she went behind her back and misled them, deceived them, and bought the machines we're using right now.
There's another person who should have a criminal investigation by the grand jury looked at and lose her pension. Because even the last election earlier this year, it came out that she knew and allowed 2 different ballots. One had, I think, Mary Hobbs at the top of the thing, and the next one had it switched. And as I have learned, being at the top of the ballot is worth like 5 or 7% vote because people just go top, top, top. And she knew that. That was a criminal offense. She needs to be investigated by the grand jury, in my opinion.
What I recall of her is this is a nonpartisan position. We don't take sides here. For one thing, I don't believe there's anything except dumb people that are nonpartisan.
Well, exactly.
And she is the co-chair of that Penelope Yee that ran against Doug LaMalfa, co-chair of her fundraiser. That demonstrates she's a bleeding heart liberal.
Well, and on top of that, isn't this the same Kathy that sat there during the Board of Supervisors with a group of sympathizers knitting because she wanted to show how superior she was and didn't have to listen to him? Isn't that the same one? I think it is, yes.
Yeah, that's her. But you know what? I've talked to women that knit because it just kind of calms their nerves. It doesn't mean they're not paying attention.
You're making excuses, Nick. You're making excuses. You're reaching.
Well, there's 2 sides to every story.
There is.
You know, and then all the others came in doing that just to rub it in our nose.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. And she was nonpartisan. She is a government official. Her job is to show up to the Board of Supervisors, show respect because the people are paying her, not to sit there and do a public spectacle of knitting so that she gets a group of knitters around her during a meeting.
Well, they're all retired government employees. They need something to do. Hey, we're going to do our third clip. This is from Glenn Beck. But before that, I want to welcome a listener that I wasn't aware was listening to us. Thanks for listening to us, Stephen King. We appreciate it.
And you actually mentioned my name correctly. Thank you, sir. Usually people call it Junkie or Jawanaki, so you actually said my name right. Thank you. Thank you, friend. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, he's probably sitting here with his ear to the radio cranked up right now.
It's probably starting to bleed right now after that.
So I think J.D. Vance should be president of the Senate and become Senate Majority Leader. And he would control
the Senate. I am in love with that. I said that just the other day. I didn't know if anybody, you know, if that, you know, it was possible with J.D., but he would be fantastic.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does he get the access to the Senate GOP funds?
Huh? Yes. Let me build out how this would work. Essentially, the Constitution says that the vice president is the president of the Senate, highest ranking officer, and when he sits in the chair, that's the way it is. There is no question about it. This is, again, Senator Mike Lee came up with this. This is a 1 a.m. phone call from Senator Mike Lee last night, and he had me at hello.
He has me at hello every time.
Yeah. Now, mind you, J.D. would have to really want it in the sense that it would be a ton of monotonous. He had to sit in the chair and listen to procedure stuff, and he'd have to go to the Senate lunches. However, he would basically be able to be the president of the Senate and set the entire tone of legislative agenda. Now, as far as the political stuff, that yes and no. I mean, he could create his own. He could do, you know, they could hand him the Senate Leadership Fund. But basically, if you're the president of the Senate, then everyone looks to you, and then you get to determine who's on committees, which, of course, you know, there's a lot of power in that. Now, mind you, this would completely change the game in Washington. I have not had anybody tell me it's a bad idea. Now, mind you, John C. Calhoun tried to exhibit his power back, as you know, in the 1950s as president of the Senate and was actually shot down. So there has been some trimming of the power of the president of the Senate. However, in the Senate rules, it says the highest ranking officer is, and that's the president of the Senate, which is the VP. This power has never been exercised, tried, or tested. Considering the mandate and considering that we only have a Senate majority thanks to Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, it's not as if, like, the Senate candidates did better than Trump. The opposite is the truth, actually. Trump did way better, and they're only there because of coattails of Trump, you know, from Sheehy to Moreno to McCormick. That's your majority right there. So that's my push. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would love to see J.D. Vance become Senate majority leader.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a 4-year deal. It could be 1 year or 2 years. But, boy, you know, that would jump start the Senate and put them on the right trail, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, looking back at Pence, what a fine piece of human do that gentleman turned out to be. I really, really like J.D. Vance. I think there's incredible integrity, honor, honesty. I think he might be one of the best people to hold that position, and I hope Donald, old Donnie, uses him and lets him shine a little bit, because that will set up in 4 years a great continuation of hopefully some good policies and good results.
Groom him to be our next president. But, you know, Gavin Newsom thinks real well on his feet. I can see some really interesting debates.
Well, he doesn't think good on his feet at all. All he does is start going, well, you know, we're going to have to let all these illegals in, because that's – that's what he does. He doesn't answer questions. He took his training from the Kamala School of debate. He doesn't answer. He just starts bloviating with non-facts. That's what old Mussolini does. So, no, I think Vance, I think it's a great idea. I had not heard that one there, Nick. Thank you for educating me.
Well, it's my pleasure.
We determined earlier in the break that you are smarter and you have better ideas than me, so this is another one. Thank you.
We could start meeting for coffee maybe every Wednesday morning, and I could tune you up a little bit.
Once every 2 weeks is all I can take of my Nick right now. But you know what? Just so the liberals don't think I'm a completely one-sided pony here, I think McConnell and who's the turtleneck? You got Mitch McConnell, and who's the turtle in the is it the center of the House? I think they should be investigated. They were aware of the Russian hoax. They knew.
Oh, absolutely. Stalwell running around with Fang Fang.
Yeah. I want to see even some Republicans, rhinos. I mean, Romney, Mitt, he knew a lot of these things. He knew that the stuff from the Russian hoax is there. He voted for a J6 impeachment on a non-issue, a phone call to Zelensky, which turns out was a valid phone call. You know, to investigate, are you investigating the Bidens? And as we now know, probably the largest single corrupted family to hold power in our country, and they're still in power, which is amazing to me.
Well, I want to see Trump release the information about JFK's assassination. He said he would his first term, and Judge Napolitano asked him why he didn't, and his reply was, if you saw what I saw, you wouldn't release it either.
I don't care.
I think he has said that he will release it this time. I'd like to see the Epstein files released.
Epstein, I want to see the client list. They have it. I want to know who was on that damn jet with Jeffrey.
Yeah, and look at Puff Daddy.
Oh, Diddy. Oh, Diddy. You know, I've been on following that for a couple of months, and, you know, let's just call a spade a spade. I've been watching a lot of black entertainers, not white, black entertainers who knew that circle well, were in the circle. And on YouTube, you can find out amazing stuff. And they have been, some of them have been screaming for years that that dude is bad news. I feel he's either going to get Epsteined or he's going to walk. Because he knows too many people of power.
That's, and evidently every room was wired and videotaped.
Videotaped. And they found close to 1,000 bottles of baby oil with a date rape drug smeared into it. So, I mean.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one. So, Mr. President, liberals, listen. we are smart human beings. We get up every day, we put our shoes on, we chew gum, we drive to work, and we work. We can handle information, even if it's not necessarily a great reflection on the United States of America. Let's release a lot of these things that have been kept from us. The J6 Committee, for example, in Kash Patel's book, he mentions from the early get-go, those folks, including Liz Cheney, knew the entire thing on J6 was bogus. They knew the FBI was in there. Release those information, non-redacted. What did they know? You and I are old enough to make a decision on how bad our government is acting, but if they keep redacting stuff, we don't get to see it.
I agree with you. We want is honesty
integrity. But, you know, I say this in real estate all the time, because one of the worst things in real estate is when you're doing a deal and the other side goes code silent. You can't. The agent won't call you. The lender's gone AWOL. The escrow doesn't know what's going on. And then you make the call to your client and they go, what's going on? You go, I don't know. I would rather have, hey, we have an appraisal issue. Buyers have a loan issue. Something came up on verification. I would rather know and then deal with that than not know. Because when you don't know, you start forming all of your own crazy – the deal's falling apart. And same thing with day-to-day life. When they don't tell us stuff, we immediately, as humans, go to the deep side of negative. That's just how it is.
I wish we could put some kind of a commission together that would judge the media and maybe shut the liars down.
Well, absolutely.
Not censorship, but I don't know how you do it, but some of these shouldn't even be on the air.
Well, I mean,
the Communist News Network.
Well, I mean, the MSNBC, there's provable. This is not innuendo. This is not, we think, provable lies and deception. I mean, liberals, listen up. Your media lied to you. They told you Kamala was going to do great, and it was neck and neck. She lost in a landslide not seen since Reagan. They lied to you. Wake up. That's what they do from the moment they get up in the morning until you go to bed at night, is they lie to you. Get other sources of information. That's all I'm suggesting. So I would like to have the JFK files. I'd like the J6. I want to see the Epstein client list. I mean, I'm kind of needy this morning, Nick. I'm sorry about that.
Well, don't forget about the supervisors meeting Tuesday morning at 9, and then we have an evening meeting Thursday at 5:30.
Oh, okay.
If you ever wanted to see how meetings run, this would be a good one. You know the three guys up there, Patrick Jones, Chris Kellstrom, and Kevin Cry, are doing a really good job at getting to the bottom of wasteful spending.
Well, I had heard that there was something going on in terms of our DA that was a pretty bombshell investigation or whatever. I want to know what's going on.
I'd like to know, too. There's a lot of things that go on that we don't know about, and I find that frustrating.
Well, I think the government, city of council, if you're listening, and board of supervisors listening, stop doing these behind closed doors. If you're going to pay these union members outrageous salaries, let us know. Don't tell us afterwards what was all behind closed doors and we negotiated. You didn't negotiate in good faith, because Nick and I and everybody else who's paying your salaries didn't get to see what you guys were offering these people. Stop holding closed door stuff. I mean, I guess if it's litigation, that's another story, because you can't. But everything
speaking
else.
Of litigation, $300,000 because they said for a goat.
We had Sheriff Johnson at the Board of Realtors this last week, and he told the story, and I threw up in my mouth. I just couldn't believe we gave that family $300,000. And actually, he says PETA got involved in their pockets for endless, but $300,000.
Well, sometimes you have to spend money to keep from costing a heck of a lot more, and I understand they're going after some more people.
That's the problem with America. We've gotten to the point where we don't trust the justice system to be honest or fair or just. And, I mean, this is a situation where somebody sold a goat, stole a goat, got caught stealing a goat, and we paid them $300,000 for being illegal. I mean, I'm sorry the little girl's feelings were hurt. I really am. But she brought the goat to be sold. It got sold, and then it got stolen. I mean, end of story.
She should have claimed it got stolen before she took it to the auction.
Well, it was anything or not take. She had the choice to keep it. She didn't have to take it to the auction. And so, yes, $300,000 about backdoor deals again. Stop it.
And what'd she learn there? You get your feelings hurt, you can sue.
Well, yeah. Change your mind and the government will give you $300,000.
Yes.
That's what I learned. So I'm going to change my mind on you, Nick. I'm going to file a claim against the Board of Supervisors. Hope they'll give me $300,000 as well.
Oh boy, they're tightening up. They're getting rid of some of these.
I'm not sure they'd give me $3 for you though. That's the problem.
Oh, you want to put me on the auction block?
Yeah. And then I'll take you back and then send you to some far-off county.
You might advertise me in Playgirl or something like that. I look pretty good in a Speedo.
How did we go through this show and get to the point where you're finishing up with you in a Speedo? Nick, it's been another great show. I'll see you in 2 weeks, sir.
Thank you. Have a great week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.